You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, good evening. This is Roy Masters. I have a special program for you tonight. And I suggest that you get your family quickly together. You don't want to miss Victor, my friend, for God knows how many 40 years, he will tell me. Now, I can remember this. I've been doing my radio program and helping people to overcome terrible problems, millions of people, hundreds of thousands, at least millions. And I found a person who listened to my voice, and he's going to explain to you what it happened to him. The voice you're about to hear is an ex... I can't find the right word. I have to write it down. Anyway, is an ex-mafia. That's what I had to ask him to make sure that this is a proper thing to do. And I can remember sitting in Philadelphia giving a seminar, and on one side of the table at the break, I had two friends, one ex-mafia, one of them is, I have to write it down, is FBI. And they're both friends. And the FBI person, I saved his father's life. That's 40 years ago, and he's still alive. And he sends money every month. Never forgot it. And so that's the beginning of this program. I'm going to invite him in just in a few minutes. Sunday, April the 1st, is Easter Sunday. Sunday morning, a.m., communion with the bread and wine at Grants Pass, Oregon. And I want to let know that those who are listening to me or come to my radio program and my Sunday morning programs need to stay away and because we'll have a lot of people coming up there. Please do not bring your children. This is not for children. Don't bring them unless they're old enough to not to be scared. So what we're going to, the subject matter today is partly my relationship with Victor Melillo, which is his name, an ex-mafia. But he has a magical quality. I sat on one side in Philadelphia, I remember it. And I had two men, one the opposite mafia, the other one, well, you know what I said just a little while, because I can't always remember these F8, FBI. I just get them mixed up. Excuse me, I'm just old now. And so I'm going to put Victor on the phone right in a few minutes and let him explain to you how he came into being with me. He has his own way of saying it. And there's only a few minutes left, and I'll introduce Victor in the next part of the program, which is just a few minutes from now. But the subject matter really is, and I like him to talk about it, because the way he speaks, I have never, ever seen anybody speak the way he did, and I'm going to sit back and let him talk. I will hardly say a thing. I'm going to just have a rest for myself. But you won't want to let this go. Because he came from terrible circumstances. We won't go into this. But the beauty of what he is become. The voice is rough. The voice is powerful. But what he says and how he says it is something you've never heard before. What has come from a mafia to an angel because he's my best friend. The best friend I ever had, plus the gentleman of the FBI, sitting across the table and saying, well, we take care of our children, we take care of our wives and women better than you do. And he had to, and the FBI agent says, yes, you're right, you do better than us. But these two are my friends. I'm the friend of the FBI because I saved his life, his father's life. He's still alive all these years. Please, let me introduce him after this break.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, I have a friend, and I'm going to shut up and let him speak. I'm going to introduce you to Victor Melillo and let him tell the story how he became entranced with Roy Masters, which is basically what he said.
Is okay now?
Victor!
That's
it's
me.
It's your. Listen, it's all about, you know, Sunday, April the 1st, Easter, and the communion with bread and wine. And when you spoke to me the other night, I just want you to talk that way, and I want you to discuss the subject. If you remember sitting in Philadelphia talking to my FBI friend and you being of the mafia.
Yep.
I think of these things are so wonderful. So go ahead and just say what you want about Easter Sunday and
I'm going to talk from the
communication with bread and wine. You understand all these things from coming from a horrible world. You're on your own now.
Tell me when.
Okay.
Is it okay now?
Yeah, I am.
I want to say hello to the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And I want to ask each individual a question to ask in their own self. Would you gamble that there is no God, there is no hereafter, there's no Jesus, and there's no soul? I don't want an answer. I just want you, person, whomever you are, to ask yourself that question. Now, I'm going to tell you about me. I grew up as a mafia person, starting at 8 years old, running numbers for the mob. Running numbers, betting numbers, etc., etc. I was just 8 years old, but I was tough as nails. I could possibly fight a man. And in a few years, when I'm 10, 12, I start doing collections for the mob. When you borrowed money or you lost a bet and you didn't pay, they would send me to come and see you. Now, my nickname was the Beast. Now, can you imagine a child at 10, 12 years old having a nickname, the Beast? I know you all know Tony Galletto, the guy who fought Joe Louis for the championship. I used to spar with Tony Galletto. And I was only a kid, 12 years old. but I was fast, and I could hit you hard 3-4 times before you tried to swing. So now here I am. I work for the mob, and I discover an attribute that I had and didn't know I had it. It was shooting crap, dice. So what did the bookmaker next door say? Come on, Vic. You know how to make the numbers. I'm taking you to a crap game. The crap game was in Linden, New Jersey. It was the biggest crap game in the United States. You had to go through 5-6 doors with 2 guys with guns at each door to get to the crap table. The crap table was a pool hall, pool table, with an army blanket on the top, and yours truly standing on a Coca-Cola box. And this little son of a gun right here, who's an old man now, would call the numbers like the devil himself was in my hand. And I would call 33, 44, whatever the number had to be, I would call it in advance of it, dice hitting the table. And to me, I was God to all those bosses. Now, these were the big, big 5 family mafia bosses at the crap game. The 5 families of New York. All right? And so to them, I was their God. And the bookmaker who took me there used to win tons of money on my back. Now that's how I got into being a gambler. All kind of gambler. And now I go to Vegas. And when I go to Vegas as I'm older, I take business people who cannot go to Vegas. They gave me their money and said, Vic, go and bet my money for me. Whatever you win, you take half. Whatever you lose, that's okay. Don't worry about it. And that's what I did for years. I must have kissed more horses on their lips than Carter's got liver pills. I'm being facetious, but I'm telling you the truth. I was an out-and-out degenerate gambler. Nothing on this earth could stop me from gambling. I bet about 2 ants running up a wall. Who would go to the ceiling first? Now some real estate lady introduces me to a guy on the radio by the name of Roy Masters. I said, okay, friend, I'll listen. So I sit there all alone in the house, and I start to hear the words. And here comes the tears like Niagara Falls. Now, why am I crying? I'd break railroad ties on your head as quick as look at you. Why am I crying with this man talking? Because he was talking to my heart and my soul. For the first time, because I was a searcher, trying to find what the answer was. Through the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, you name the church, I wanted to check it out. Didn't agree with any of it. I heard this man talk, Roy Masters, to my soul. And I could not stop crying for 2 hours. So what do? I go to the Foundation of Human Understanding. And with all my might, I turned everything upside down to try to make it better, fix what I could, buy whatever you need at the lowest price. And then I discovered this, folks. Pay attention. Hear me well. When I got around Roy Masters close, all the evil that was inside of me was like frozen. It was mummyized. It couldn't move. It was stagnant. I said, oh my God, I got to back away. And I thought there was something wrong with me. No, It was bringing all my wrong in my whole body close to this man. And he paralyzed all the wrong inside of me. I saw my God, what a miracle. I have never felt like this in my life. And that's how I begun to meditate. Now, you don't just jump to God and start demanding. It's His will be done, not ours. We monkeys all think it's our will. We got no will over nothing. We can't stop thought. But God gives us the universal power to watch the thought in your head and not necessarily get involved at all. Look at that gift, folks, that you could look at the thought in your head and our Lord God will take it away for you before you do the deed. For example, everybody knows anger. Here comes anger. You want to rip somebody's head off. But you watch the anger. And you watch. And the first thing, you don't even know why you were angry. It's gone. God took it. You had no power but to watch it. And the wrong does not want to be watched. Because when you watch the wrong, God Almighty retrieves it on a leash. We have no power to do it. Only God. Now, this is what I'm practicing for a long time now, over 40 years. Now, only me knows what I used to be, and only me now knows what I am now. And I wouldn't trade now for then, for if you gave me the whole earth. I'll say it again. If you gave me the whole earth, I wouldn't trade now to the old days. Now, can you imagine a person having a nickname, the Beast, and then find Roy on a radio and start to meditate and your whole life changes? No singing songs, lighting candles, prayer beads, and all the rest of the stuff to make money. Just to sit down, be quiet, and pay attention. And this is what it says over my door. Let us be silent so that we may hear the whisper of God. And in that 7-minute meditation that he has, will start you on your journey to your Father. There's only one Father. And that's your journey. And you go at his will in his time, not yours. See, we always think, you control yourself. You don't control nothing. Nothing do you control. It's God's will be done, not Victor's will be done. And I have no word to thank God enough that he allowed me to meet Roy and to go to the Foundation of Human Understanding and understand about meditating. It's the most precious gift I ever got in my life. And my life has changed. Changed, folks. I ask you, see for yourself. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. Try for yourself. And ask yourself that question. Are you going to bet there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, and you got a free ride? You didn't get here by accident. Our Lord put us here. whatever name you want to call him. There's only one God. Now, I talked to a Far East person, and he said in their book, they talk about Jesus, and they talk about the Virgin Mary. I said, gee, I never knew that he was in your book of Quran. If they want to keep it a secret, whoever does, that's on their shoulder. But I'm telling you my experience of from extreme evil to wanting to see and do right. And when I came to see you to get what you owed, you always paid. Now, in the old days in Las Vegas, they did not call a lawyer where you didn't pay your gambling debt, which you owed the window. They sent somebody like me. I never came back without the money. Do you understand the evilness of me? And where I got my training background from? Mob members, made men, capos. Now, our government thinks the mob is done and finished and over. I got news for our government. They will never be gone. They will be here as long as this earth is here. You hear me, folks? This girl that's accusing the president now, she said somebody in Vegas threatened her and said it'd be a shame if there was no mother to take care of her baby. So do you think the mob is dead? Folks, I got news for you. It does exist. It's real. But they do it in different ways. I got a little bit of sore throat, so don't hold me to that. But I'm just trying to tell you folks, please, as my brothers and my sisters, I'm not telling a story. I'm telling the truth. This happened in my life, and I wouldn't wish it on the devil himself, the life I had. I would not. Now, can you imagine me saying that? Can you imagine? But I'm a human like you are. I'm not a fairy tale person. I don't tell stories of lies. I tell the truth. Because when you grow up as a mafiosa, you better not slip with a lie, because you're going to have teeth missing. And in the old days, a woman could walk down the street. Nobody would dare bother her. No words. Not like today, everything goes. In the old days, one of the mafiosos would bust your head for cracking on a woman, saying anything out of line. You hear what I'm telling you, people? This is not a story. That movie picture of Marlon Brando about the mob, that's not even a tip of the iceberg. That's not even a scratch of what they're about. Now, when I was young, the mafia money would buy food for the widows, the old people who didn't have any money to eat, and I would deliver the baskets of food to them. Now, when Eisenhower invaded Normandy, a guy by the name of Lucky Luciano, a chief mafioso, helped Eisenhower how to go on the beaches of Normandy. He laid it out for your president, Eisenhower. You folks listen to me. I hope you understand what I'm telling you is not a story. This is true. We are not evil, evil. In fact, when they first started with the drugs, it was a death sentence. If you were mafia and you dealt in drugs, in the beginning, you were killed. You hear what I'm saying to you, folks? I pray that you spread this to all your friends. Because if the government wants to get rid of drugs, all the government has to do is take the money out of the deal. Every drug addict should get it free from the government. Once you take the money out of the deal, that's the end of the drugs. Listen to a dumb Italian 90-year-old man. You hear what I'm saying, folks? I'm telling you from my heart. Get this message to Trump. Take the money out of the deal. That's the end of the drugs. The drugs are only being made more and done more because of the money involved. But if an addict could get it for free from his own government and it's controlled, there's no more money in the deal.
Well, I'm just listening to you. I'm fascinated.
Right.
Victor.
Yes.
Can you say some of the good things you do about... I remember one of the things that a very famous person, very rich, his son was stolen, and he asked you to take care to see if you can save his life. Can you remember that, what you told me when we sat and spoke with each other?
I was approached by the government. Of course, they know I could go anywhere and do anything. And they said, we want to find this boy. And the reason we want to find the boy, because the multimillionaire father believes the boy is dead. And basically what the father wanted was to know where the body was. There was two men and a woman involved. The woman was a degenerate card player. The two other guys were teamsters in jail. So they only had one person out, the woman, who knew about the boy. So yours truly wined and dined her till I found out where, how, why, and when. I brought the information to the government. The government went to the father. The father signed a check, left it blank, told me to fill in my own zeros. I folded the check neatly, put it back in his hand, crying, tears coming down my face. I couldn't take a penny from you, nor would I ever. I can't imagine what it is to have a son murdered. And that was one of my affairs with the government. Need to go where they can't go, like, for example, dog fights, whorehouses, phony identifications, name it, they can't go. They look like government. I go, and they know me. I got a background. Mafioso. I could go anywhere. On the altar I could even go. And I would go get what I had to get and bring it to our government. You people understand where I'm coming from now?
Would you hold the line, Victor. Hold the line, Victor. There's a music coming in. And we'll put you back on. I'm enjoying it. I want you to talk about what you try to do. There's an island off of Florida with a bad guy on there. Do you remember being put in a submarine?
Talking about the Cuba.
Yeah, Cuba, that's right. Well, we're talking to Victor Melillo, my best friend. He loves me in a pure way. And I want him to share some more, some of the things he did. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I sat in the living room with you when I was there for a week, and you told me a lot of stories. And you told me a story where you went to get a certain person off an island, and you'll have to...
The island was called Cuba.
Cuba, that's right.
And
would you talk about it? Yeah.
That needed to take a walk off this earth. So I was one of God knows how many with the sole purpose of taking him out permanent. Now, how many people out there listening would you do that? All from your brain, no notes, no weapons, no nothing, just your chutzpah, your guts. How many of you would do it for your country? Had weapons too close to America. Should he continue to live? Now, Batista, who was the head of that country, took $5 billion to Zurich banks that he stole from the people. That mafia people and other people put in the casinos and gambling in Cuba with a license to steal. And he took the land of his mother and father first and gave it to the people. And I started to discover some things about him. Long story short, he was put way out of way to be touched. Nobody could reach him. But how many of you out there, would you do that for your country? Without a weapon? Without the language other than Italian? Would you go? I'm just saying, folks, there is a God. I trust in him with everything I am. Other than that, there's nothing. There is nothing when you close your eyes for the last time. What is there? With all your money that you think you have power.
Did they put you on a submarine to get there?
Out of Key West, which nobody even knew there was a base there. Okay? So, what I'm trying to tell the people is from a bad, bad guy to hearing your voice and starting to meditate, I changed from what I was to what I am today. And there's not enough thanks in the universe to thank you. God gave you the gift, and you're sharing the gift. And that's what I pray to do. Share this gift with others. This is not to keep secret. This is for other people to understand also. Because hardly any religion that I know teaches anything like this. That you are allowed to watch what's in your head. And God takes care of it from there. Without you lifting a finger, he's not going to do it for you. You have to make your attempt, and then he finishes it off. What'd he say? Vengeance is mine. And then we'll go back to Easter. What did he say on the cross, our Jesus? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now that's a son talking to his father, being tortured beyond belief. How could anybody think that that's a made-up story? How could they? How could they?
Victor, there's something I would like to change here. We have Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. April 1st.
I hope a million people come.
Yeah, I just want to get your idea. Let me just say what it is, because it's a little commercial. A communion okay. with bread and wine at Grants Pass. Call the office if you're coming, 877-3227, and perhaps it will be an experience. A very very wonderful experience with the extension of this. Eat this, remembering me. And it will be living proof that the spiritual understanding of Jesus Christ is indeed possible. So don't be frightened. Don't be frightened, because if you come on the front and want to be helped, exorcisms are probable. Please do not bring your children. There's only room for about 60 or 70 people. That's what all I want to say right now. But we're going to go back to Victor now. But I want him to... ask Victor to discuss what he discussed with me last night, or a night or two. How did he see communion with bread and wine as a magical thing, that as long as you understood what he meant by that, we could have a happy life? And I want you to express, because I don't want to take up time in explaining what you can do. You spoke to me the other day. Can you remember what you said to me? Because I loved every minute of it.
It's hard to hear you because your voice is very low. I'll do my best to remember.
All right.
I was talking about my dad. And my dad, well, we sat down to dinner, four boys, two girls.
Oh, that's it. That's where it was. Yes, go on.
You were to eat slow. You were to chew your food. You were not to eat like a pig. You did not speak, because as you ate the food, you're sitting down with death. So while you talk and try to eat, you could choke. Also, you must remember who made that bread for you, Father God. And remembering Jesus, what he said, when you eat the bread and the wine, think of me. Don't eat it like a hog and devour the whole loaf of bread with two bites, or drink the whole big bottle of wine down. Sip it and think of me. It should be a very slow, conscious awareness of what you're doing when you eat. And that's why the Italians, bread to them is like the number one thing they start off with. Most of Italy, the first dish they have is a small dish of some kind of macaroni, which is bread made with a little gravy. But they did it like a ritual, like, this is, I'm remembering you, Jesus, what you said. And to think about that. And if you eat in that manner, and not like a sloppy pig, you don't become a sloppy pig. But if you eat like a pig, big pigs get slaughtered. People that eat correctly don't get slaughtered. We slaughter ourselves through food. And people that I knew that were in a concentration camp said it. Victor, the people that didn't eat much at all, they survived. And the other ones that begged and stole food, they died first. I'm talking about the prison camps that Hitler had. That's the stories they told me. Now, they all can't be lying. So when you sit down to eat, chew your food, take little bites, and remember Jesus Christ, what he said at the Last Supper, when you pick up that bread or take a sip of that wine with honor, respect for him, and not wolfing the food. The whole United States is crazy having a lunchtime of a half an hour only. All of Italy has 3 hours for lunch. They break at 12 and they'll come back to 3:30. Now, why do you suppose they do that? That's a whole country. This half-hour stuff is insanity. A person can't properly eat in a half an hour. But it's the truth. It isn't enough time to pay respect to Jesus and wolf down that food and go back to work in a half an hour. It doesn't even make sense. I hope I'm not bending anybody's ear.
Well,
I want to talk about
let me now. Let me say something about that. Yesterday, I looked into the Bible, and it said, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup from the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's sickness. So
That's right. That
is why many among you are weak and sick, and the number of you have fallen asleep. That's it. Makes it clear. In other words, I've always said that food, properly experienced in a gracious way, is the solution to nearly all of your diseases and sufferings. But you see, if you eat food for pleasure, to escape your conscience, which is what you do, more and more and more, oh, that's good. Oh, that's better. Oh, that's even better, better, better. And so, what, ladies and gentlemen, you have to eat your food slowly in respect to, if you're a Christian person, and I'm Jewish, I get it, because it's metaphysical. In metaphysical, if you eat fast like an animal, you become an animal, but in conflict with your human. That's what I keep saying. Opioids, they're not the most dangerous. Food is the most dangerous if you don't deal with it correct. Because food, like the tree of life, it's food. And if you use food in the wrong way, you will die.
Absolutely.
And so half the country is dying from food. But the same reason, the reason why we can get cured, if we can sit quietly like you're talking about, nice and simple, and aware of him, the Jesus, of course, do it so simply, with great respect, and sort of eat, thinking of me.
Absolutely.
That is the way he did it. Please, ladies and gentlemen, this is April the 1st, coming soon, Easter Sunday, 9 a.m., communion with bread and wine at Grants Pass, Oregon. But what you will see, may I say, is going to be shocking, because people who have lived their lives on enjoying food and as a addiction, in a sense, because when you eat food and you like it more and more, and the more you like it, the more you're guilty you feel, and the more guilty you feel, the more you want to have it. It's an addiction. Food can be an addiction, and when it's addiction, it will kill you. Half the country die from this.
Escape
but at the same
reality.
Time, it can cure you, if you just do it graciously, like Victor is saying, gracious, calm. Just eat slow.
At my father's table, not a word was spoken ever. After the meal, you could talk all you want. But while that food was on the table and the spoon was in your mouth or fork, there was no talking whatsoever. You could hear a mosquito.
That's it.
But those days are being wiped out by who? Some other nation that starts with an R that wants to destroy the American family. Where we all used to sit down and eat together. And the mother stayed home. And the father went to work. And mama washed the clothes, cleaned the house, and took care of the kids and had the babies. We switched it all around to bust the family. Break the family, you take the nation.
That's right.
And you're right, Roy, when you say it, because you look all around. I remember as a kid, on our front porch would be the milk, the bread, the butter, whatever we had was on the front porch. Nobody locked the door. Nobody locked the window. It was a whole different world. I'm like in another universe compared to now to then.
Yes.
How we digressed. And who's going to help us? Only God Almighty, through His Son Jesus. We better start to meditate to understand where we're at. And we're not in a good place.
I say, Victor, I think you've done a good job.
God bless you, Roy. I wish you could be on national TV every night, 6 to 7, every night.
Well, I'm looking for the opportunity to have a big microphone. I wish the government would put me on a microphone and let me say what I have to say to the whole country.
And wake the people up. That's what they need. You
That's
need to
I...
give them a good... Bob.
All right, the music is coming. Victor Melillo, you're my best friend, one of my best friends. You're the bestest, yeah. Bestest friend I ever had. And I know...
You're my angel that God sent to you, to me.
You know what you said to me?
But
if anybody wanted to hurt me, I'd die for
it. I will stand in front of you absolutely and take it.
That's sweet. And I love that. I appreciate it.
No,
it's not going to happen. God bless you, Victor.
And bless you and all the listeners. Give it a thought and think about it, please. For
That's
your
it.
Sake, God's sake, please. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I really appreciate you coming on because you've got so many stories.
And I love your audience, too. Whoever listened, I love them, too. God bless them all.
God bless you.
So long. I'm going to go.
Okay. He's 86 years old now. And we're talking about 40 years ago. And I'm also, April 2nd, I'll be 90. And so we're all too old, old-timers, aren't we? May I suggest this? Now, let me come to what's important. We are discussing the subject of food. There's something magical in it. There's something deadly. Donald Trump is taking opioids. I mean, he's not taking them, but he's taking it, trying to get them to take it out of... anybody getting them. But there's always something get worse, because when we start to get angry and upset, when we are broken people, we're looking for pleasures as much as possible, and the pleasures will kill you. But the pleasures that shouldn't kill you, but they do, is food. You have no idea how many diseases you lose your eyesight. You lose your legs. You have heart attacks. How come? Food. Food should just be simple. Eat it slowly. And in a beautiful way of this moment, the moment that's coming on 1st of April, Easter Sunday, we will be having a very important program at a Foundation of Human Understanding in Oregon. And I may suggest that if you have a great suffering and recognizes that you are dying from food, you are dying from food. You die for food. You love it too much. But then it becomes opposite to what it was meant to be. You can't use food. In the beginning, Adam spoke. God spoke to Adam. He says, all the trees you can really eat, but not that one. But it's temptation. And you know the rest of it. And so they came out of the garden of paradise. But you see, he was saying, you are human beings are meant to live forever. Animals can't have that. They have no choice. They live with an emotional driving force. Emotion, lion, tigers, bears, oh my. Don't you see? Animals can eat their food, kill, and be killed. Human beings come into the world different, with an extension of God within you, intuition, the unfolding like a flower from within. But where is the within? You have the world around you, and everything in the world is wicked, and we're involved in the wickedness, and we don't know how to deal with it. Hardly anybody has purity. Sooner or later, things get worse. And when you come into the world, especially anywhere in the world, even in America, when you come into the world, what do you get? You get Eve. Unloved Eve. Unloved Eve. Now, may I suggest, just for the what it's worth department, and when you just put aside money for just for a moment, gentlemen, look at a beautiful woman. Don't let her draw you. Don't let her suck you in. And don't look for love in all the wrong places. She cannot love you. Somehow, you have to love her. But because you are born through her, the tendency is to look towards that which seemed to have created you. But that's not the case. You're both created by a loving God from the beginning. But everything is backwards, excuse the expression, everything is upside down. So when men come into the world, I'm talking to men, do not look to the woman for love. Never. Never look to the woman for love. Don't look for her the way she sucks you in. She doesn't mean to it. She's a weak person. You're a man, stronger than her. No, but deep down inside, she's Eve still. She has extension of her mother, who was an extension from her mother. And you go to grandma and great-grandma, always the same, with rare exceptions. And the woman does not know. She needs to be saved from the dark side of the force. She is a beautiful women with children, female children. They are not like men. You don't want to be like a man. You want to be a woman, but only you can be a woman if a man learns to love the hell out of her and not suck the life, the love from her, the pleasure, don't look for the pleasure of that, because all you're doing is looking to her to support the worst in you. Support the worst in you when she loves you, when you give yours, when you intimidate her and get pleasure from her. You have a baby, but in the process of having a baby, you're beginning hungrier and hungrier and hungrier and hungrier, just like food. Just like food. Because you're hungry, something's missing. And when it comes to food, I mean, remember, of all the trees you can truly eat, but not that one. And then that one is still good, but it's bad because he said, don't do that one. That's when you sin. You've got to be very careful about the way you eat. Very careful. Make it spiritual. Make it spiritual Sunday morning, April the 1st. Please, come. If you can come, and you're suffering from a terrible disease, and you suggest a bit, you suggest, it suggests you that, or suggests to you, that it has something to do with food, that you're guzzling it up and killing yourself. And the more you eat, the more you're hungry to eat. It becomes a drug. We don't want food to become a drug, because look where it leads, right back to Paradise Lost. Smoking and drinking is some one thing, but this one goes all the way back to Paradise Lost, for which reason the whole world suffers. Be careful now. I'm not trying to spoil your life, but this is a very important time. I'm a Jewish boy, but you see, I'm not a Christian. Jesus is not a Christian. He's a Jewish boy. Understand, he's born in Israel and he's Jewish. And where would God find that person? Where would the best place be to have his son come into the world? There. And even there, it was difficult. Because we had the Sanhedrin and all the rest of it, and those wicked people who put him into. Well, he was asking for it, of course. But he made a point. He made a point. And the point is that we do not die. In other words, if you can follow him, because he's following his Father, why call me good? Only the Father in heaven only has goodness and love. And so we need to find that will separate us from the dark side of the force, where Eve became overcome the man, and still does this to this day. But you need to find the truth that sets you free, gentlemen, and find that magic stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed Victor. My Victor is my best friend. We really love each other. You can't help but love him, because he can sit there and he'll tell you the stories of all the terrible things he does, and smiles and says, I'm so glad I came back. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever sickness you have, if you can come up on Sunday morning, there's only got about 70 people there, we can't have any more. Come to Sunday morning, and we'll spend the most of the day helping you to overcome your problems. And it's all about food. And you'll see what will happen to you when you take a piece of bread, and see what happens if you're guilty. Bang.
You always hurt the one you love, the one.
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles. This is Roy Masters. I have a different program tonight, and the best friend in physics I ever had was Albert Einstein, but he didn't know how much I respected him. I've always been interested in physics. I was always interested in hypnotic states, hypnosis, and I made big business out of that. I've talked to you about that before. I discovered hypnosis was not a cure for anything. It was actually the problem we need to overcome. But having said that, I want to speak to you about Albert Einstein. And I want to read. I don't like to do reading anything. I like just to be spoken as I receive the purpose of what my Creator is giving to me to say. But I think he's let me out a little bit, because there's something about Albert Einstein. Because when I was a young person, not just a kid, I was fascinated with him, and I bought a book. And the book was baby stuff, but I couldn't understand baby stuff. Like I couldn't understand the Bible, which is baby stuff. Excuse me saying so, but the words have meaning. But the words lead you to meaning, and you can't suck up the words. It doesn't help you. You have to understand what it's saying. Oh, I see what that means. Oh, I see what that means. So I spent about a year just with a little book for little kids. That's all I needed to get started to produce something equivalent to Albert Einstein. And I was well aware of his way he got his degree. He hardly ever went to school. He hated school. And so all he did was want to figure out what the meaning of light and what it is. And his discovery was absolutely wonderful. E equals MC squared. I think that's what it was. But the thing is, if I may say, loved that man. Where he's coming from, what he was doing, as I assumed, it was very clear from the things that were coming back that he didn't go to the class. He just asked his friends to what it was all about, and he figured it out right away. Then he was able to get a degree. He couldn't be like Roy Masters, who never had a degree, and I don't give a damn about it. I have a degree. I know as much as. Actually, a little bit more. Forgive me for saying this. But I went ahead of him and found out what the singularity is. But the singularity is just a word of let there be life. Let there be light, I mean. What I've done is to show that there's a God. And I found out here the same kind of heart that I had, and I watched him die at about 70 years old. And what he did, why he died, and could have lived a long time, was the frustration and the fact that he had to do more and more when he didn't need any more. But there's something beautiful about this, about not going to school, as far as I'm concerned. I can read the Bible, but I don't need anybody to shove it down my nose, my head, my ears, and memorize it. That's intellectualism. It goes nowhere. You're just a nice person walking around with intellectual words and ability to speak to each other, sort of pseudo meaning what it means. You know, not real, honest talk. Not deep, dark, good, light love. And so, what I just came into contact with... Oh, I have to stop for a minute. I had to stop for a minute. School teachers, they want a big pay raise. Please, let them... Don't give them the pay raise. Give your kids the chance, fresh air to find out and meaning of life. And stop going to those rotten schools and let them all drop dead. Excuse the expression. They may come to life again. Stop pushing stuff down.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, I opened the program. I just want to go over it quickly. First, I want to say something that may disturb you. In California, the teachers don't want to, they're not going to come back unless you give them what they want. May I suggest this is a wonderful opportunity to get rid of the whole bloody lot. Excuse the expression. Give your child some freedom. Stop pushing them. Stop letting the teachers mechanically learn. Mechanical, intellectual. Intellectual, you mean you got a lot of words and you look very clever. But you're not. You're missing something. The ability to discover for yourself. And Einstein, the program I wish to express here, if my creator will allow me to speak this way, he will jump in if he thinks I'm being foolish. But I think that my brother, now I call him my brother because I have never loved and appreciated that man. I have him up on my safe, a big picture for the last 20, 30 years. That is my friend. That is my brother. He discovered, and even though he has a degree, but he never really went to the classes. He just picked up what it was said, and he understood it right away and just went on going. It took him 10 years to find the meaning of life. And E equals MC squared. And so he is like a brother to me. And I bought a little book just for kids. I think I said that in the first part of the program. And I just couldn't understand it. But listened to it, and I opened the book again, and learning about little things, about a year. All of a sudden, just from those little things, such as the little things I read in the Bible and get to understand, oh, I see that, but those letters and words are not the things, it's beyond the things, but it's given in, it's verbal. And there's something about verbal means you don't want to memorize it. What you want to do is understand what it's saying, what the word is saying. It's much deeper than the words themselves. And so is language. As I speak to you, when you go to church, all you listen to is nice things about God. Nice things about God. God loves you. Blah, blah, black sheep. Have we any wool? Okay. Now, may I suggest quickly, that if you live in California, let those teachers drown. Give your children a chance to unfold like a flower, and gently say to them, I'm taking you out of school. What would you like to do? What would you like to learn? What would you like to discover? What are you interested? Let me give you a little bit of money, or work for it, and play with it, and spend it on what you think is valuable to you. That's what my father allowed me to do. But you get rid of those excuse expression, bloody teachers. And you're a stupid bloody person if you push your children to learn. All you get is a machine. It looks nice, but there's something horribly missing. There's a way. And I would just want you to realize that the teachers, if you're in California, call all your friends. Let the teachers not get the money, and don't let them be teachers anymore. Give the children 1 year to recover the common sense of whatever they learned or whatever they want to learn. Then you're going to have all the opioid stuff going, because all of those pressures are crushing the evolution to God, the evolution to God, the way, through wanting to understand. I see that. Oh, I see that. Oh, I see that. But I don't just get the words and write it down and get a degree. Now, let them go. And let me speak about ice. How almost a quarter of my scream, and it's silly. But Albert Einstein. What he did, I just got it on my iPhone from a friend, from a family friend. And he wrote a letter to his daughter. I forgot her name, sorry. But what I read was beautiful. He was just like the light that was in me. May I read this to you? I'm not usually read anything. I speak from my heart. And in that experience, you're not just hearing words, but the meaning of words. And Einstein was like my brother. No, I never met him, but he was like my brother from a distance. And I want you to be you can be my brother or your father from a distance. So you can see what a father, when the father loves, you can hear it in his voice. But you have another voice when you start pushing, getting angry. As I remember a story just not long ago, it was a movie that somebody gave me. One of my kids was working with a very famous person, and he made a movie called Black and White. And the story was simply this. This will make the point, then I'll go on with the subject matter. The little girl is black. It's obviously that the husband of the white boy, the white lady, was also black. And so there, so she had a part black and part white. But she had a wonderful grandpa. In the video, not it's a video, CD, the scene came like this. Go upstairs and clean your teeth. Go upstairs and clean your teeth. And the little girl says, could you say this with a little bit more strength? Please do this. And the grandpa, who is white, and she, the little kid that loved the grandpa, loved the grandpa. They loved each other. But what she said was beautiful. She says, please make it stronger. Please speak stronger to me. And so he says, all right, go upstairs and clean your teeth. She says, that's better, thank you. That's what children want. Not fearful to say, or rude, angry. You could say, get up the bed, little so-and-so. That's what most of you do with impatience. Have you ever been impatient? Yes. You think impatience is not normal? Yes, you do. Well, if you didn't be patient, they wouldn't get anything done. Yes, you would. But what you're doing is making things worse and causing them to hate you, hate the school. But even then, they may feel insecure of hating the school. So then they swallow all the words, and they have knowledge and doing good, interesting things, but they're mechanical, and they never learn, never grow, never evolve, never discover, and never stop discovering, never. Every little thing that happens, everything bad happens for good, for those who love or long for the... You can't say you love God, only God has love, so you long for God. Long for Him to come inside you and speak to you as I am speaking to you now. So let me read now. This is how beautiful it is, because myth, may I say, it was because of Einstein that even though he's miles ahead of me, he set me on a journey, because he had that attitude, go on with the journey, never mind going to school and learning this or that. I know, listen, I understand you're never going to get involved with, you may never be anything like the scientists, but you could still be good at lots of things, but you will be discovering is, I think, where we get all our beautiful things is for those people who I just described. They push the school away, or the schooling away, or they were just memory for just for a little while, just to get out of it and go on to do what your common sense and intuition points to, like I did. What I did was found out the origin of the universe perfectly, simply. And if I were to talk to you about it, you say, oh my God, that's remarkable. But this is called the singularity. The singularity is what gives the universe infinite energy. Infinite never stops. But they gave it a name. And I gave it a different name. And I said, go to the Bible. The Bible, I didn't go to the Bible, I just had to remember what it finally means. In the beginning there was a void. They know that. If you don't have a void, you can't have a universe. You can't spread it. There has to be going something into nothing. Something into nothing. Well, where did the something called singularity, which they call it, is the infinitely hot outside. It has to be outside the universe. Einstein says you can never have anything still in the universe. It's like blowing a bottle, blowing up a balloon. If you want to blow up a balloon, you don't want to sit inside and go ha, 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 and expect it to get bigger. No, you have to have something outside to make the balloon become a bigger balloon. So it's something outside. Something outside. And so I went to the Bible. But I didn't open the book. The Bible suddenly says, oh, here it is. There's a God. There's a God. Let there be light. Where did that come from? But I already know. And I put it in my physics paper. And I won't tell you any more than that. I went beyond Einstein. But that doesn't mean to say he wasn't better than me. I'm not as good as him. But through him, I was able to step beyond him. Which is, I'm not going to say this is bragging. He helped me. He played a role in my admiration for him. And it was so easy that he, when he spoke, I understood it sooner or later after reading that little book. All right, now I want to share something with you, and it's a letter written to his daughter when she was little, assumably. And this is what Einstein, Albert Einstein, said. And listen to him. If I can read it, I am a terrible reader. I wouldn't be a good announcer. I can't read somebody else's stuff and put the emphasis in a sweet and honest way. I'm reading. I have a problem with reading. I have no problems unfolding like a flower and speaking as it comes through me. So forgive me if I just don't take good marks for reading it, but I need to read this. All right. Now he's writing to his daughter and asking her not to share this, and I'll read it. When I propose, he speaks, this is writing to his daughter. When I propose the theory of relativity, very few understood me. And what I will reveal now is to transmit to mankind will also collide with a misunderstanding in a prejudice, and prejudices in the world. See, forgive me. I told you I don't read well. And do you mind if I say it again? When I proposed the theory of relativity, very few understood me. And what I will read now is to transmit to mankind will also collide with a misunderstanding and the prejudice in the world. There it is. I ask you to guard these letters as long as necessary, years, decades, until society is advanced enough to accept what I will explain below. Listen carefully, please. This is not easy for me. There is an extremely powerful force that, so far, science has not found a formal explanation. It is a force that includes and governs all others, and is even behind any phenomenon operating in the universe, and has not yet been identified by us, the scientists. This universal force is love. It's getting better. When scientists looked for a unified theory, which is I've done, of the universe, they forgot that the most powerful unseen force, it's love. It is light that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity, because it makes some people attracted to others. Love is power, because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. Love unfolds and reveals. For love, we live and die. Love is God, and God is love. The force that explains everything and gives meaning to life. This is the variable that we have ignored for too long. Maybe because we're afraid of love, because it's the only energy in the universe that man has not learned to drive at will. To give visibility to love, I made a simple substitution in my most famous equation. If E equals squared, we shall accept that energy to heal the world that can be obtained through love multiplied by the speed of light squared. We arrive at the conclusion that love is the most powerful force there is, because it has no limits. After the future or the failure of humanity in the use of and control of the other forces of the universe that have turned against us, it is urgent that we nourish ourselves with another kind of energy. If we want our species to survive, if we are to find the meaning in life, if we want to save the world and every sentient being that inhabit it, love is the one that is the only answer. Perhaps we are not ready to make a bomb of love, a device powerful enough to internally destroy the hate, selfishness, and greed that devastate the planet. However, each individual carries within them a small but powerful generator of love, where energy is waiting to be released. When we learn to give and receive this universal energy, dear Leslie, we will have affirmed that love conquers all. It is able to transcend everything and anything, because love is the quintessence of life. I deeply regret not having to be able to express what is in my heart, which is quietly beating for you all for my life. Maybe it's too late to apologize, but as time is relative, I need to tell you that I love you and thank you. I have reached the ultimate answer. Your father, Albert Einstein. I'm having a little cry, if you don't mind, because my father was like that. He gave me freedom. Let me go. Let me unfold like a flower. Let me be free from him, but he will just watch me until I need him no more. That's what a real father is, and that's what I'm trying to help you to do. Let me play the role of father that you never had from within. We have a half an hour left, and since I was reading Einstein, who I loved really, and seeing things the same way that I do. It's a pity he died around 70 odd years, and I could see he couldn't stop. He got frustrated, and you could see in the story. There's a movie about it, and I see it's correct. He died with a pen falling from his... He never had a chance. He never found what he was talking about, but he understood that it was that. And I am very happy to understand what he left to me. Booth, that's what I give a lot of credit to the fact that I could see him from a distance. I can see him. It was so easy to just see, watch him, for me at least. I had a different kind of beginning. And the different kind of beginning was, I never had to go to school. I went to school, but I couldn't learn anything. I went to school, I wouldn't learn anything. And one day I did something very clever. Some kind of technique with to lift things up with where you couldn't otherwise do it. And I won a half a crown, which is about a couple of dollars. No, not equivalent to a dollar. It's $4 to a pound. And then they put me up on the stage with 400 kids, and they gave me this piece of silver coin, and everybody clapped. I didn't like it. I didn't like being powerful. I don't like being... It's disturbing. It was disturbing. I didn't like people to like me. I just wanted to do... So it made it more difficult for me to learn, but that was good. I began something when I was about 15. How did Hitler do this? How did he turn, about 10 or 15 years, how did he turn normal people into murderers and cause them to murder and kill the innocents, as if the innocence was dangerous? It is, actually. We need to talk about that sometime. I have a call right now, and if we have a half an hour left, and I'll give that half an hour if you want to call about anything, but I don't think I can answer this question. Well, I have Emily in California. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Mr. Right. Master.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you. You know, we faded off completely. Something went wrong with your phone.
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Barely. I can barely hear you, but I can hear you.
Dave, let me speak to Dave. We're having this problem a lot. People can't hear me. We must fix this.
I was hearing you very well, and then all of a sudden it just fades off. But
we've had that several times. I'm just asking Dave, who is the producer here. There's something technically wrong, and we need to fix that. That's all. But you can hear me now, can you?
Yes. You're still phasing off, but I can understand what you're saying.
All right. I know people can hear you, though. But keep going.
Well, I guess that's good enough. I can understand what you're saying. So,
all right.
Anyhow.
So here's your question. Your question is, the question is, your husband demands sex from her. Is that correct?
Yes, it's very embarrassing, but I detached based on my conversation with you about a year ago and working to establish a new foundation, but still it's a huge issue, and I just basically have a separate room where I sleep, and I share a bedroom with my son, and it's just very difficult.
That is not a good idea. May I suggest? I think I can make a suggestion. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
Your husband is... How can I say this? What you've done is married too early. Why did you marry this man? You drew him with his hunger, to experience, let him experience what he's wanting.
I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to have any more children. I was of age, and he was adamant about having a family, but then underneath that, he really, I don't see that he really cared for a family. He just wanted, you know, the intimate part of it.
That's right. He was looking for, you see, what you should have been more careful. It's too late now, but we can resolve it to keep your sanity. I understand why you went into the had a room, but the way you expressed it, your children need to have a room of their own. But here, what I'm saying to you, what you need to say is, and he may walk away from you, that you do not love me. Or you have to speak to him one night, make a dinner, and speak across the table and say, listen, what is his name? Just his first name, John.
His
name is, never mind, I'll call him John. Listen,
okay.
John. I'm having a dinner with you, and I have something to say. Oh? He said, what is it? He says, I have learned to hate you because you do not love me with love. All you want is love from me. And I feel you pulling what love is not and causing me to hate you with that love. Do you understand what I mean? May I say it again? You have lunch or dinner in the evening, and you sit down, you have a glass of wine or whatever it is, make it special. I have something to say to you, John. There's something that you want love from me. I want you to know. If you want to say something, say it if you want to, but just let me finish, if you don't mind. But if you do mind, I'll stop. Go ahead if you have something. Listen.
I'm listening carefully because I need to find a stage for that moment, because he refuses anything from me. He doesn't eat what I prepare him. He's taking over the kitchen. He doesn't want me around. He just throws really bad tantrums.
All right. Now, listen carefully. Have you learned how to meditate yet?
Yes, Mr. Masters.
In other words, can you speak? I'm giving you some words. If you agree with them, they don't have to be the same, but it has to be similar. Something is
that
I understand you don't have to use my words, but other words can be better than the one I gave you. But let me say it so you can see what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So you've got a broken home. And so doing what you're doing is only make things worse. But there's only one thing that will make it worse, and he runs away and finds another woman that will just give him what you shouldn't give him. He's a pig. And he doesn't love you. He has a lust for you. And so all you are to him is to give him a sense of feeling good. So what really is, you are a dope pusher.
Yes.
He's become addicted to your pleasure giving, but inside you, you're not the pusher. You feel like he's pulling your dirt from you, like you're a whore. And you feel this pull from the dark side, and to give him a feeling is only to make him more hungry and addicted to what you don't want to do. So you only get angry, and you run away and put yourself in another room, but you're never going to solve the problem that way. Now, when he starts to talk like that, you say, excuse me, shut up. This is the sound of my voice. What, John? I'm having dinner with you, and if you don't want to eat, that's fine. I want you to listen to me, please. Thank you. You want sex? Let me talk to you about it. Just pull him in a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you any. I'm not a whore. Your kind makes whores. Your kind destroys women. You're hungry for me. You think that hunger is love. No, it's lust. Expression. You don't care for me. You just want me to... all I am is a drug for you. I make you feel better, but I'm dying. I'm pulling up the darkness to give you and give you a sense of worthless worth, you stupid man. If you don't mind. Let him run away. Let him go.
I have, and I have experienced violence after your last conversation I had with you.
Shoot him.
I told him, and you know, we have a restraining order inside the house. He can't touch me,
hold it right there.
I experienced violence.
Listen, hold it. I'm glad you told me. May I suggest, this is my house. You are not worthy of this house. Go and find yourself another house and keep the payments. And let me bring up my daughter. Or whatever she
is. That's the game he plays with me, that it's his house and he wants to throw me out every chance he gets and lock me out.
Here's the secret. Whatever he says, here's the key. If you have meditated, don't let anything he does with a bent fist, anything he says, calm. The more he gets angry, the calm, stop talking, calm, don't say anything else. Let him yell, let him get upset, let him accuse you of anything, let him call you whatever he wants to call you. Stay calm and watch him suddenly run out of the house and you may never see him again. Let that be so.
In the meantime, I should take a different room then.
Yes.
So my son can have his own space and my husband have his own.
Yes. And leave it alone, but watch him run away. Sit, let him get angrier and angrier. But the more angry he is, the more you sit quietly and not flinch. And there's something about the not flinching that's godly. It's a kind of love that you never experienced before. Means nobody can hurt you. Nobody can upset you. There's something within you that's melting whatever he's trying to pour over you. And it being poured over you, even if it is a little painful, don't react. Stay calm. Finish off talking and let him yell and run and scream and let him drop dead if it's necessary. That's it. And watch the children. Let the children see a gracious lady that doesn't play tit for tat. He gets angry with you. You get angry back. And when you get angry back, he gets angrier. And pretty soon he pushes you into doing it or not and may run away. Or give yourself away, you're screwed either way. Excuse the expressions. It saved me a lot of words. That's all
yes,
I can tell you.
Yes, because it's escalating to where my son is acting out just like his daddy.
Exactly. For the sake of your son, you need to see, that son needs to see you calm, dignified, speaking firmly, and when you're finished, he goes to become a raving maniac. But light stays within you, and light is love. That love can keep anybody from overcoming you, and your son will see the nobility of having spoken, taking what is unpleasant in a very calm way. And you watch that husband run like hell, or magically he may come back a couple of days after being drunk, and you say, Emily, I think you're right. All I want from you isn't love. All it does is to poison me and to gratify me with that poison so I never become a real man. I'm not used to someone as bright and as beautiful as you are. And your children need to see that scene. Because if you get upset, the only choice he has is two people fighting. But only if only one person's fighting and the other was calm. You'd be surprised how calm overcomes cruelty. It drives them a force, and instead of you running away, he'll get up and run away himself. And he will see that the father is a coward and the mother is beautiful. That's all he needs. Because God is the same, whether it's through a woman or a man. If I said the word right, it's good if the man was that with a woman who wants something which is not good for her. It's another way round. But that's my answer to you. I hope it's helpful.
Yes, it is. And this is what takes me. And I've survived so much that I could share for you hours and hours. But the other thing I do that I sense it weakens me is if I eat the wrong foods or too much food, I feel weakened.
That's just one more thing then. If you get upset, you're going to have what he's got, a hunger to have a feeling from something. His is sex, and you wouldn't be a pervert, but you would pervert yourself like everybody else does. When that doesn't work, when you get upset, now your whole life has anxiety. And just like your husband had anxiety cured only by sex, you have anxiety by food, and you get fat and die of a disease. And your children or your child may see that before that's necessary. All right. Thank you, Emily. I do hope that's helpful. Has it been helpful?
Yes, very much so. Thank you, Mr. Masters. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Good night.
Thank you very much. Well, we have another 10 minutes left. Does anybody understand the magic of love? Do you understand? There is no love in the world. Love created the world. Whatever love is, love is a force. As Einstein said, love is the greatest force in the universe. Now, animals don't know what love is. They live under a different system. But we come into the world, and we have a potential of redemption. This is the movement towards redemption. Adam reacted and disconnected from the unfolding of what should have unfolded, and unfolded because the woman entered him, and what was entering to him is supporting a sense of worth. And the problem of matriarchism, the trouble of being married, is that Adam also had a hunger, and she had to, of course, there'd be a period of time, but she also in that move, even in that beginning of humanity, the very beginning of humanity, and that's what it was. It was turning around and going in a different way. Because you've done this thing, you have become part of a woman. You will be entwined with a woman. And you become part man and part woman, and no authority to stop the problem, men turn their wives into whores. Whether they admit it or not, they have a secret hate. And if a secret hate and they keep on giving sex to the man, all you do is get an appeaser. Yuck! Appeaser. I'll buy you a nice car. I'll take you to a dance. Or whatever you like. Appeaser. He wants to give you something. To get said something. Don't give it. And may I suggest, young ladies, stay away from men. Take off all the trimmings, the lipsticks and everything. Don't try to shed an energy that draws a man in. Like an opioid. You're like an opioid. A drug pulls on you. The drug pulls on you. The drug pusher holds it in your hand, you're licking your chops. Pull. And he'll give it to you. And he wants to give you some. You have to give some money from him. And pretty soon, you want more, and he'll give it to you. It's the same as the woman. The more you give it to her, the more you make her give it to you, the more demoralized you are. Your wife is demoralizing you, not willing to do so, not knowing how other to keep the family together, and you're beginning to die from cancer, whatever. There's so many compounds worse than opioids all going on in every family in the world, every family in the country, and it can last a long time. And wonder why one of you dies from being angry or having lost his mind or something, or died from too much food. Half of you will die for eating too much food. And food is something beautiful. Food is enjoyable. Food is necessary. Whatever is available, it's fine. However, if you are frustrated, if a woman is compelled to pretend to love the sex, even though it may feel good the morning after, the night before, is when you feel, oh, what I've done again, I'm angry, I feel guilty. And he says, what's the matter, dear? But you're not his dear. You're his perverted child, to give him what he wants. Rewards you with giving you money, rewards you with giving a nice car, and you become addicted to all those things, and you have to play the part. Ladies and gentlemen, please, ladies, by yourself, may I suggest that you deal with this the way I spoke to that lady just a little while ago. And never mind what. If you will do as I tell you, if you will get the 7-minute meditation, and I can keep you calm when you say no, because you're using me, husband, you could say it. If it comes to you, you're making a whore out of me. You're hungry, and you think that a woman rising to your occasion, you think that when I rise to your occasion to give you a sense of worth, it is deadly. If you understand that your hungry a husband is wanting to turn you into a whore, and we don't dare talk about it that way. He'll buy you a nice car. He will be nice to you, and then start pushing you, and you feel the pull. And when you feel the pull, stop. Or, there's one other way. And listen carefully. Give him the sex, but don't... How can I say this? This is difficult to say. Give him the sex, but no, but make him know it didn't feel good. You just let him do it and let him release himself, and then he becomes aware that you're not enjoying it too, and you're not, but you're not angry. You have to survive that. It's okay, but he will actually see himself like a pig. And that works. So you can let him have the sex, but don't have the feeling. Don't give him an idea. Oh, I love this. Don't do that. Don't do it. Sit like nothing happened. Are you finished? Attitude, no anger. And then he'll suddenly see, oh my God, why aren't you enjoying this? Because I don't. I just have to let you see that you're hurting me. And he'll feel guilty. And maybe he'll consider that he is hurting you and you're getting nothing out of it. Why are you getting something out of it? See, it's a kind of way of thinking and causing the man to think, because he wants you, he feels uncomfortable if you don't feel it. He doesn't feel happy if you don't feel happy. Because feeling happy and say, oh, that was wonderful last night, he wants even more. And this nation is a nation of whores. And I don't want you to be one of those. So I've given my friend here an opportunity to do two different ways. One, having a nice talk to him and say, I don't appreciate what you do. You're just looking for, you don't know what love is. I'm looking for love. You're not looking, you don't know what love is. You want some love from me. And then I'll give you a reward. I don't want your bloody reward. Award. See? But it all must be done with great dignity. Call love. Here we go, what Albert Einstein. Ladies. Let me speak to the ladies. Be careful. Make sure that when you want to get married, go through what my daughter did. She waited 8 years and not have her husband to be give her anything, give him anything. So we are time for you to support my radio program. I am beginning to give it all away free, and before I die, before I leave this earth, it will take a few years. I have so much material, so much in the last 56 years. All the information is there. A tremendous amount. But we'll have a place where everybody on earth can come and hear my voice. Go from one thing to another until they found the truth that makes them free. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
always hurt the one you love. The one.
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, hello. Welcome to my program. I just left to share with you what I heard myself speaking about a letter to his daughter that was so beautiful. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think the universe is a beautiful, more than a beautiful painting? I know that you want to glorify Rembrandt and whatever else and think of that, what a wonderful person that is, what a genius. It's absolutely the other way around. How dare they draw you a win to something like that, $300,000 for just a painting. As good as it is, can you conceive that the universe is a creation better than a painting, but it's also something you can paint? It's the extension of something, just like the, you can't have a beautiful drawing or beautiful picture, draw it and say that nobody did it. You have to give credit to the painter. You have to give credit beyond that, because the principle is the same. We have a universe, but within the universe, as far as we are knowing, as far as we can see and glorify the creator of this world we're living in without any love in it. There's love in it because someone or some being, something we don't understand. Let's say God. He created this. Why don't you close your eyes and eat some food and be aware of the food in your mouth? And you see your little jaws going up and down. You never noticed that before. I can sit there. I have been sitting there today listening, eating my dinner, a little piece of a dinner anyway, and I was aware of me chewing. I said, oh, how does my chewing do this for me? It's automatic. But it's given me a power to eat and speak. I'm looking to myself from the inside. How wonderful it is. And so many other things you can speak about. Your eyes. How did you... The eyes are so sensitive. It helps you to see. It helps you to understand. It helps you... So many wonderful things. How did it get there? How does it know? How does that little creature inside the womb of the woman... And the other part, if you don't mind if I say it that way. How did they come together and have a heart, a brain, and but more important, it's something called awareness. When I was talking about, Albert Einstein the other day, I really enjoyed it. I just want to read one paragraph or two. He says this about the universe. He says there's an extremely powerful force that so far science has not found a formal explanation to it. It is a force that includes and governs all others and is behind any phenomenon operating in the universe and has not yet been identified by us. The universal force is love. This is Einstein. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'm just going to make a point on this and let him start me off. When scientists look into the unified theory of of the universe, they forgot the most important, most powerful, unseen force. Love is light, and that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity, because it makes people attracted to each other. We'll go on in just a minute. This is what I want to talk about in so many different ways.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Ah, yes, here I am again. I was speaking about Rembrandt and his pictures, and the stupid people spent $300,000 for a piece of painting. But just, this is a distraction from the law that created the universe. And our, not only the universe, but more clearly, our planet, with great beauty, wonderful imagination. There's no words for it. And so I want to bring you back to this person. And his name is Albert Einstein, who said there's the most important and powerful force in the universe. This is what I believe to be true. Now, saying this, if you have a Rembrandt or any kind of beautiful picture, not that it's beautiful in my opinion, but anything that's made, you'd have to say something made that. If you were on the moon and you saw something unusual and you looked at the ground and said, oh, look at this. This is not from our world. This is somebody from another world. This is it. But you forget when you're on the moon, if you pick up something like that, that is obviously some intellectual or being created, you have to understand that the moon underneath your legs was created. So, ladies and gentlemen, what Einstein said to his daughter, that love is the most powerful force in the universe, in the whole universe. But then it has to be a power giver. And how do we understand him? Where is this love? But I can see it. And it's important for you, because you're not just a fish in the sea. You're not just a piece of something that somebody made. See? It's not all that. What it is beautiful is what you're beholding in the universe. Even when I said, when I'm eating my dinner yesterday, I'm eating and chewing my dinner with my eyes closed, just for sitting there like that, and I can see my jaws moving up and down, up and down. But the point is, they were programmed to do this. I'm not doing it. I didn't make this happen. I'm amazed I see my my chopper's going up and down. And then I can taste it. And then I said, well, then I've got eyes. How did the eyes get there? How do we come from a little tiny, tiny, two little pieces coming together? And falls as a human being in the likeness of whom? Do you see what I'm trying to say? There has to be a creator. But and Einstein, he says, is the most powerful force in the universe. Because the universe is made by love. So that gives me the opportunity to say, why has he made us in his image? It's possible, isn't it? It's probable, isn't it? I see what you don't see. You have the right not to see it. I see there's a creator. How do I know it? I've been seeking to know it. Now, this caused me, it could cause me just to be programmed. But I like a certain program. There's two kinds of programs. One is from the dark side. We see lots of evil in the world, murder, killing, everything like that. All kinds of misery and suffering. And then there's people who are different. But the two don't match. There's evil in the darkness. And who has that power? Guess who? Women. And who is the downfall of the woman? The one that draws the man to her. Now, this brings me back to the day before yesterday where a lady called and said, my husband wants sex. All he wants is sex. I am angry. I can't stop it. I've gone in another room. I've got my son with me. And I'm angry. And he's angry. Because, you see, what happened is she unconsciously, every woman has a, how can I say this? I've got to find the right words. Women have a pull that draws a man into her and her into him. What you get into gets into you. You get into drugs, it gets into you. And so forth. That makes a simple point from one moment to the other. Now, I was talking to this lady, and I just said what she said, and she's going crazy, and her husband is getting meaner and meaner, and she does not want to do, she's going to go another room. And I began to show her what love is and how powerful it is for a woman to overcome the hunger and bestiality of a man. Ladies, would you like to hear this? Would you please find the station? I think it was the day before yesterday. The day before yesterday, that was the folk. And go to my website and see if you can listen to that first hour. Catch that first hour of me speaking to that lady, and she says, I see this. Oh, she has something to see. In other words, I'm trying to say that this is not love. What pulls you towards something, what it does pull. Now, men, you must understand what I'm saying. You are, when you come into the world and you become what you call a man, but it isn't really, it has a lot to learn and a lot to see. Well, there it is. But nearly every one of you are drawn. And that is very important. Drawn. Now, the animal is drawn. And that's natural. They have no other choice but reproduce and eat and be eaten. But we have something better. We have something called love. And love never dies. That's the point. love does not die. And I want to talk about that as much as I can this evening. And if you want to call me, 800-866-8883. It's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7, and then you get backups. I'm trying to expand it to 2 or 3 hours, but I'm not strong enough yet. I'm 89. I've passed that. I'm 90 years old. And what do you get from a 90-year-old man? Understanding, wisdom, enlightenment, hopefully. Love is light. That's what Einstein said. He says love is light. It's the energy of the whole universe. His love. Whatever you see, it's made. Who made it? Do you have it sitting on a chair? Somebody made it. It didn't make itself. You go to the moon, you pick up something, you say, oh, this is nice. Some other people been here before. But you forgot to think of the moon underneath your legs. Something made that. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, I'm going to give you some good advice. Unless you find this love, because human beings can find it, animals can't. Can't appreciate God. Is not aware of a God. All they know is it's drawn to this and that, and eaten by this and that, and eating this and that. But it's all part of life. And there's good life. And the only good life is possible in a man or woman. To realize creation has to have a creator. Just like your Rembrandt. Rembrandt makes beautiful picture, which I don't think much of, and pictures. And everybody's hungry. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, isn't that gorgeous? Look how important. Making all that importance when it's not important. It makes a point that we create something. But that's all he can do is make a picture. And everybody goes, oh, how wonderful it is. I don't think that way. I go beyond that. You have to stop looking for things like that. You're not stopping being infiltrated with things like that. And have envy for people who have things like that which are not worth a damn. Nothing you have is worth a damn. Your car, nothing. But if you love your car, and you love your food, that isn't beautiful. It's not. Because you don't have any love. It's just a longing. And enjoying what's giving you, it's like a pervert, a drug dealer, rising to the cadence to your need. Your car can rise and attract you. Just like the woman can rise and attract you. What you must learn is not let something attract you and react to it. Listen carefully. If you allow your wife, if you allow a woman to pull you in, and think of that as love, you're a freaking liar to yourself. Excuse the expression. The woman can't help. The lady cannot help. She's hungry for something. Yes, there's something is love, but sex is not love. A dog can do it better than you. And he can do it as much as he wants and never feel guilty. You can't do it whatever you want to feel guilty, you fool. Because what you're doing is giving yourself to the woman. And she's either a prostitute or a fool to give herself to you. And or she can also be agonized in your hunger for her, what's ever behind her. Because behind Eve, if there's an order of the family, God, Adam, Eve, kids, it doesn't work about that way. Kids, woman, Adam, God, doesn't work that way. It says that God made himself in the image of, made man in the image of himself. And that's one of the reasons when you see a person broken, cruel, mean, hungry, confused, hateful, bully, what they've done is 180 degrees in the wrong direction through the woman and up from the dark of the world. On the other side, there's where love is. If you as a, listen, I'm going to put it in the form of the way, it's a good way to put it in the form of a family. So let me put it this way. If you want to have a family, if you want to have happiness, if you want to have beautiful children, hopefully, will come one day. My kids are not that good anyway, so it happens to everyone because I was born the same way as you, and it took me years and years and years and years to discover what I'm saying to you now. But since I'm here now, and since I'm nearer the light than I've ever been before, and the light is now inside me, that light, the only person or the being that can experience this is a human being. A human being. Being human. But however, temptation exists. And temptation, as we have explained it to you, is basically where love is missing. When she brings into the world a child. There's something about that, of course, men are involved with it, but there's a right way and a wrong way. So let me stop for a minute and say that you're not married yet. And this beautiful girl comes along. And lots of women are beautiful. And most of them that get anything at all, partly worthwhile, I would say, but not worthwhile. It doesn't last long, as you see. So this beautiful girl is beautiful and attractive. And she's pulling on you. This is what it is. Now, there's another way. We'll come to that in just a minute. Now, what? Let me stop for a minute. There's a little girl who's becoming a big girl now. And she calls a couple of times. And she says, Roy, Uncle Roy. She calls me Uncle Roy when she calls in. And she doesn't call much anymore because she's understanding a lot of things that little children never have from the love of me. It's true. So she calls me, and those who haven't heard it need to listen to this again, even if you've heard it before. And she says to me, I feel like a pull. I said, do you understand what that means? She says, no. I said, something is pulling on you and wants to eat you, wants to take something away from you. Something is pulling. That's a dark fire. It's hungry. It's inside you. It's inside everyone. Don't give in to it. I said, can you see that if your mother said, "Now look, this is your grandma. She wants to give you some nice toys," but the little girl feels, "I don't want those. Is it all right if I say no, Grandpa?" I said, "Of course, but do understand, when you say no, you're fighting the evil, but the good is inside you. You have the power to say no. Now don't worry about what's going to happen. She's going to scream. Grandma will scream and throw all the toys in a garbage can and run for her life, cursing you. Can you stand that?" She says, "Yes, Grandpa, I can do it." And guess what? She did it. Calm as a cucumber. And the reason why? She had the light. Now, if I was a mother or father, and I didn't understand what I just said myself, I would say, "Now look, young lady, why can't you just be nice to your grandma and take those toys, and don't hurt her feelings?" "Yes, turn your..." Let's see what I'm trying to say. Jump like that quick. "Yes, I mean, don't give in. Don't..." But what does it take? Here is the $64 question. What is it that is saying, "Don't take this. Don't buy this"? Let's come back to the gentleman. Adam made a mistake. She drew him in away from the light. Do you see that? And so when Eve said, "I didn't die when I eat the forbidden fruit," and he looked at it and became drawn into this and said, "Yes, maybe that's true," and he ate and then made an excuse. That's even the worst. Do you make excuses? Yes, you make excuses and blame everybody else too, but you make an excuse. An excuse is the evidence that you're lying. Avoiding the truth sets you free. Every one of you have that. You have given in to pressure, to temptation. But where it is really dangerous is with a man looking at a woman and being drawn into her. Any one of them can do it. Any one of them, when you have the idea of what love not, it doesn't know what love is. When you feel the pull and you feel a sense of worth, but I say worthless worth, when the drug pusher comes up from the jungles of South America to give you a gift which you have to pay for, but you can't live with it and you can't live without it, is sucking the life out of you and taking the love, your love, away from God to it. And so you embrace darkness, and hell comes into the universe fighting those who are good. I know what love is. Now, gentlemen, please understand what I'm about to say. You young men, and if you're still a man and not married, well, take a moment. Thank you. We'll continue. Excuse me, please. do my programs with my eyes closed. Always do. And don't look for bits and pieces. Just let it flow. That's where it is. But if you have the world upside down, if you respond to the calling of the dark side of the force, it will eat you alive. A strange being will grow up inside you instead of a bright light, a being of light, light, a being of light. A being made not from emotion, like animal. You think emotion, which draws you, that's what draws you, but it's what kills you. Don't believe for 1 minute that emotion is human. It's what will kill you. The more emotion you get, the more you need to fulfill what was lost in that emotion. Let me stop. He's right here. And I'll take my call in a minute. Let me say, make a point. This is what Roy Masters has done for all the 90 years, except for the first 7 years where I began to learn it, is not to react to anything or never mind what it is. Your loyalty depends on finding the light that shines in your eyes from within. Close your eyes and look at your eyelids. Look at your eyelids with your eyes closed. You are looking at the inside of your eye, and you can see pictures, thoughts, judgments, and you react to those. And the more you react to what a judgment which is built inside you now, because the minute you get upset, the minute you become angry or upset, the minute you be intimidated, it will pull you right in. Like the little girl, don't let her pull you in. And she says, yes, Grandpa, I know how to do it now. She is in the light. She's still in the light, so nobody can upset this little girl. Now, as she grows up, she makes a hit and a miss every now and then, but she's a longing person, and she's calling Grandpa, saying, is it right to be pulled in? I've said it in a different way. Don't let anything pull you. Gentlemen, do not let a beautiful woman pull you in like an idiot. Hell will come with every family. And even though it looks good on the outside, it's not good on the inside, and sooner or later you're dying from cancer, schmancer, whatever it is. All because of that. The lady I spoke to the other day about her husband wanting hungry, hungry, hungry. I taught her how to deal with this until he blows up or sees it. Now, all I want you to understand is that I have a meditation technique that's free of charge. Be still and know. Doesn't cost anything. 40 minutes. And I have 7-minute meditation. Please, in order for you to have order in your life and not be drawn down the drain of lust. Lust is not love. It sucks you in and eats you out. And if you look at how the numbers of people are dying from horrible diseases because of hate, love, love, hate, and there is no love. They call it love. It's lust. Hungry, hungry. The more hungry you get, the more anxiety you feel. The more anxiety you feel is the truth following you all the way to the grave. And you haven't seen it yet. You rather not see it yet. Because the more you give in, the blacker you become, darker you become, and the light goes out. What are you here for? God is light. He created everything, and the extension is you. Don't let the women. Now, here's the sec, just quickly, then I'll take my caller. Gentlemen, here's what you do. Be aware that the pull of a woman will kill you. For sure. Slowly or quickly, just depends. There's 80% of Americans are divorced. What does it tell you? Is that funny? Why should it be that way? This should be glued together in a proper way. God, man, woman, child. Not the other way around. That's what it is. You're not supposed to be drawn in. Rather, you need to draw the woman into you where God came into you. Now, this is what I just said. Reject, even though there's a pull, a little girl, to be go and have a sex relationship with a girl and ruin her and take the identity of the dark identity into you and draws you away from God. If you're drawn down, you're disconnected from God and be subject to what's coming up the woman, and she can't help it. She can't help but doing it to you. She'll give it to you. She feels guilty not to give it to you. She begins to love doing it to you because you're a swine and a pig. Pig for love. You don't have the love that God gave you. You give the lust that Satan gives you. That doesn't mean to say you can't have good children, but something has to be in order. Gentlemen, please put me aside to the ladies. Gentlemen, if you are a gentleman, this is what you need to do. You need to be, find him who created you. As I speak to you, I'm extending to you what he's sharing with you with my mouth and the sound of my voice and the presence, is, if there's any. I have something you need. And if you see it, and you're in the dark, and you're in hunger, and you get on drugs, and being pulled and pulled, and you have nothing else but to give in to it, oh, for good, it feels good for a moment, then you're dead. And this is true for everybody. Drugs will disappear. If love comes in, it's all powerful. When love comes in, it's all powerful. The little girl I spoke to you about knows how to say no and not be upset. Now, this is what you need to do. You are born of woman, and the extension of the woman is also the extension of Paradise Lost. The dark side, what you're doing is being pulled through the woman away from the bright side to be snuggled into the dark side. It's all a mystery. It's all a matter of energy. One is light, one is the opposite, darkness. And the hunger to hide from your sins with excuses and blame. Blaming others what you do. Karl Marx. And if you react to that, he gets inside you. Anything that upsets you, excites you, even a football match, it will completely overcome you with a number of things similar. And you have pretty soon, at the end of your life, you've got nothing. And blow your brains out. And to want to blame everybody for what's gone wrong with you. And for not curing you. This medicine can't cure all this. But love can. Do you understand that? I'm going to take my caller just in a moment. this is my last words, and I take my call. Forgive me, I'm on a roll here. Gentlemen, gentlemen, see this beautiful woman pulling on you. She doesn't know. She dresses nice. Every woman wants to be to draw her husband. It's not correct. She needs to be drawn by him. You have to become him that Adam was. See? You see, he's made a mistake. And the world comes into the world this way, through the women. And naturally, like it with animals now. But there's something beautiful about that kind of animal. The next child comes into the world, even if it's not in marriage. It still has intuition. It has something to know, there's something light, something better than they've come into. Well, the rest of the family may not see that way. And they target you and upset you and intimidate you and degrade you because light and darkness don't match. And so you're all by yourself, as I was. But what I found was what I'm speaking with you now. That I know how to deal with every such thing, murder, crime, taking my life away, taking any my family away. They're all free to go. All I need is hold my ground like that little girl. Don't feel the pull. Look at the pull as a temptation, a killer. Look at that. Two little boys flowing their boats in a small pond, and the wind came away and took away the boats. One boy reached out and fell in the water and drowned. The other one, seeing that, walked away, still alive. That's exactly what I'm saying. You do not know, but you know now that in order for you to have love for a woman, you have to have love for God. And how you have love for God, listen to what I'm saying, that will do it. Knowing that I'm coming from that place and believing it, that will do it. But if you have some serious problem, which I'm going to be talking to this lady just in a minute, you need to go to my on the website. I'm sorry, I can't remember my own. I'm getting old now. You must excuse me. Every now and then, I have a memory crush. But it's FHU.com. I mean, you know, it's on the website, and you can go and get "Be Still and Know." Download it into your iPhone, and listen to 7 minutes. I will show you in those 7 minutes where love is, and bring it through. And when you bring love through, gentlemen, the woman that's really for you is the one that's attracted, not you attracted to her, but she's attracted to his noble self that's not taking advantage of her, but being kind and thoughtful, and not understanding, not to do we be like other pigs called men. Sorry. Now I take my caller. I've got 15 minutes. Emma, thank you for waiting. I'm very sorry. I had to finish my point. Are you there, Emma?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Oh, I thought you couldn't hear me. Okay.
Oh, no, you can.
Yes. Lovely to talk to you, and happy birthday. I know you just had a birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm calling. I got sick really when I was 24, and now I'm 59.
Yes.
And I learned about you when I was a young person, but I fell away, and then I came back 10 years ago or 11 years ago and started meditating, and by that time, I had been bedridden for many years. I'd just been very, very sick, and I had a back and a neck injury. Anyways, I've greatly improved, but I have flares. Like, I was primarily bedridden, and then I have, over the years, just gotten better and better and better. Never 100%, but now I have these intermittent pockets where it has attacked my throat. And there have been a couple occasions where my throat would swell up, and I thought, well, this is it.
Hold it right there. You don't need to tell me anything else.
Good.
I will share with you. Now, I wish you had not broken with me many years ago, because you're suffering from that. And God is not, you know, something you play with. You either love Him and seek Him and experience His nature into you. What you need to see that you're angry with yourself. In other words, you had it for a little while, then you lost it, and then you try to do the right things, and you eat better food and do everything that's better but not good enough. What's more important than anything else is to be still and know. Because if you're not still, you can't change sides. If you have a car and it's going backwards, you have to stop before you can make go forwards. So being still is a remarkable secret experience that I do not know anyone on earth, and I don't know everybody on earth, but I don't know all my years that the Christians which have that be still and know I am God. I have it. I'm Jewish. I love the Jesus. Therefore, I don't have to be a Christian. I can be a Judaism, so to speak. But have the light. The light comes in. And the light gets away of emotion. It dissolves emotion. Now, I'll come back in a minute. Now, Emma, I tried to say in the beginning, you might not have heard it. Emotion makes you part animal and part human. I want you to understand, emotion will kill you. And when you so emotion creates problem. And when you create the problem, you feel more guilty. And you think, well, I need more angry. If I get more angry, maybe I can make it happen. All you do is make it worse.
Yeah.
And it will continue making this worse, and then going to the doctor and getting it better, but you get it for a little while, and the hunger is drawing you into misery and judgments. How many times do you get angry with people? How many times do you judge somebody? How do you see a person marching down the street? He's dirty, filthy, and he looks like a wicked person. It tempts you to judge him. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. When you see the dark side of the force exists in dark people and hateful people and broken people and misery people, and you don't want to be sorry for them. I'm not being mean. Don't be sorry for them. When you see an evil person coming up to you and you see the evil, what you need to do, what has to happen, is to stop reacting with emotion. Whatever problem, now let's start with your sickness. What is the latest sickness you have? Just give me a name of it. What you've given
it's lupus.
Yes, lupus, pupus. That doesn't mean anything to me. What is the sickness feel like?
Oh.
What kind of pain do you have? What kind of misery does it have? Anxiety. What is the misery part of that, and which you're trying to struggle and to purify, which is not possible. You cannot listen. What you need to know is of myself, I can't do anything. Whatever anything you do without the light will go wrong. And make an excuse. Oh, that's the worst part. The excuse is the biggest lie. Excuse allows you to go on and getting a sense of worth like a drug pusher coming up from the ground and taking away the pain that really is rich in light. But the light is painful to those who live in the darkness. It runs away and looks for that which makes them feel good and is not good. In other words, I'm talking to you. I've been sicker than you have 100 times around. I've been through the whole universe of illness. I'm still in a deadly illness right now. One deadly illness after another. And by keeping my ground, not getting upset, not getting annoyed, not getting irritating, each one of those begin to flow away into another one. I was meant to go through the whole system, which I've been. Heart, you name it. I'm stronger than the average man now. I don't look like my age is what it is. I can fight. I can punch. The only thing I've lost is intellectualism. But what I've got in its place is the light and him speaking through me to you. So in this moment, if you can see light in me and you can feel or see your emotions are the problem, and that anyone who can upset you will control you. And but in order to get your own back, you have to find a person of your own to bully, to get the light out of him. This world is a symbol. It's not really a symbol. It's doing unto others, being a bully, and sucking up their life, and being seductive, and sucking up their life as if it was love. There is no love in the universe. Sit still and be still, and then in that stillness is a place between evil and good. Find the stillness and the light will shine. Don't find the stillness. Darkness will have you forever. Very few people ever find that. I'm sharing it with you now. Say after me, of myself I can do nothing. The Father within me, he doth it all. In other words, all the trials and tribulations are meant to make you strong in resisting temptation, cruelty, money, power. So if you lose your money, you lose your money. If I lose the foundation, I lose it. That's it. It's not allowing yourself to feel lost, not allowing yourself to be angry with what you lose and what you experience, but especially clean it pure. I say to you, emotion is your killer. And as long as you are upset, as long as you have emotions and not the light instead, I'm saying if you'd be still a no with my 7-minute meditation, it costs nothing. Go to my website and go to get a copy. And I will show you how to stop going down, being pulled down, pulled away from anxiety, which is dangerous to pull away, but anxiety is following you all the way to the grave to give you light. Be still. Look at your eyelids. Look at your eyelids, and another light lights up. Let that light burn away emotion. And so that forever and ever you will be living by light, and nobody can upset you. They'll only be upset because they can't upset you, and then you win. To make them upset because they can't upset you, whatever it is, if you never get upset, if you have pain and suffering and feel the pain but don't get upset, you win. Look at Jesus died. He died. What pain and suffering? Did he get angry? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You have a mother? You have a mother? Did you hate your mother? I guess it would be. But the minute everybody came in the world, every child has it. Even bad people, Hitler has it inside him, but he went the other way. He has a choice not to do it, and has a power to overcome other soldiers and murderers and killers, and he loved the power. But if you deal with the little things that confound the mighty, little things, that little thing is not resenting, recognizing that when the second in Ten Commandments is to honor your mother and father, and even if they're beasts, understand, don't judge them because they know not what they did. That's what Jesus says. All the wicked ones know not what they do, and they don't want to know what they do. They'd rather kill you. Never mind. If that happens, die without fear. Simple. Don't let anything bother you. Not one thing. So whatever you have now is a result of being upset with it. And when you get upset as a child, you came into the world and had intuition and a pathway to redemption, and the parents were cruel, and the child gets angry, and the minute he gets angry, the child comes to doubt himself. Stop to any emotion. Watch for the emotion that people are trying to lay on you. And that is where that moment by moment, every moment of people upsetting you makes you calmer and calmer, and having the light that will shape your future everlasting life. Thank you. I hope that helps you. Oh, hello again. Now look, I have a suggestion. I can't live too much longer, maybe 5 years, something like that. Who knows? But what I've done in the 56 years of what I really have, miles and miles and miles of stuff, science, meditation, sickness, disease, all could be overcome by being still and letting the light shine through you and melting the harm the world is giving you as emotion. Post Office Box 1000, Rance Pass, Oregon 97528. Support the program so we can give everything away when I leave this earth free.